Diary of Doom. On November the 9th, the final ritual of Ode to Doom was to be held. As their story was needed for the diary, we ushered forth our cipher in order to capture the tale. The fool that he is had already made plans for a similar ritual, led by New Jersey weed priests Jay and Silent Bob. However, the diary beckons loyalty, and our cipher made his way to the grocery of Arlene's for the last Ode to Doom. We also apologize for the poor sound quality, for a grandiose celebration was being held above by rambunctious young adults undoubtedly buying libations with their parents' credit cards.
All right, we are back in the green room at Arlene's Grocery, and Ode to Doom, the last edition for 2019, is just, well, not just wrapped, but relatively speaking, has just wrapped. I'm sitting down in the green room with Claudia Crespo, who's the organizer for Ode to Doom. It's really awesome to have her on the show to talk a little bit about what goes into planning some of these events. But before that, the first question I ask everybody, or I'm going to ask, is what got you into, not Doom, what got you to music? Because music always is something that I think it has to resonate with somebody in a certain way for them to really approach it the way that you have ultimately wound up approaching it.
So generally, music has always been, you know, like since I was a kid. But the bands I grew up with were a lot of the stuff that I listened to in my mom's car or my dad's car, which was like Phil Collins and The Cars and Hall & Oates. So music was always a big thing because we moved around a lot, so there was a lot of long distant, you know, driving. And but I think independently, like when I became 11, like there were bands like, you know, it was like 94, so there was a lot of grunge, and so Stone Temple Pilots and Alice in Chains and Soundgarden, and those bands then became kind of like I was forming my own independent like likes in music aside from my parents, and I still love that stuff. You know, I just recently went to a Phil Collins concert. But I want to say Doom kind of came when around the time I discovered, like when I moved to New York, but then kind of when MySpace was kind of this like platform where you got to discover all these bands that you wouldn't have otherwise listened to. And then, you know, it was bands like Dead Meadow and Witchcraft and Coven that kind of first initially introduced me to this type of genre of music. But again, like, you know, I have a soft spot for Phil Collins and I have a soft spot for Alice in Chains, and you know, those are like, you know, as a child, like that was the music that I was listening to and, you know, kind of developing my sense of self with.
It's funny that you mentioned MySpace, because now I feel like Doom has exploded on social media. It's almost like how it gets around, like how they navigate the space, so to speak.
And I want to say, like, as far as that particular genre, or even like stoner rock, stoner metal, you know, it's growing. It's like becoming, it's infinite now, you know. There's people that have their own independent labels, and you know, there's always like, it's always growing, so it's kind of like difficult to kind of stay on top of it, you know, for a lot of it. You know, when I first got into it, it was the bigger bands that I knew, but then now producing Ode to Doom, I know a lot of the local and in and around New York City, so like now my music expansion has come to a lot of the stuff that's happening in the East Coast, you know, and I'm just kind of getting to know more and more of what's happening on the West Coast, but I'm still there's still a lot to learn, because it's always expanding, and I think it's like expanding now on a faster rate.
Right.
As opposed to what it was, I don't know, 15 years ago.
Yeah, it was very, I mean, it's always been underground. It's always been a quieter part of metal as a genre. You know, it's funny how it all kind of like, the genres all get their time stamps if you look at like the history of metal.
I think more in mainstream, but I think you know, the fans are the fans that will love that music for infinitely.
Sure, but I mean, death metal was huge when I was in college, and all the core bands were like huge when I was in college, that sort of fast, aggressive style has completely changed in favor of. Well, I mean, obviously, like, for better or for worse, black metal is also very popular now, and that's very fast, but it's almost like everyone started to gravitate to the metal that had a little bit more of a story to it. That's how I've always perceived it.
For me, like, you know, black metal and death metal were something that, like, you know, like the underground kids in my school were listening to, but as far as, like, doom and stoner rock goes, I'm not saying that that doesn't have emotion. It does. It's anger. It's angry, and it taps into, it's therapy, you know. And so is this music. And certainly for me, it's therapy too. But I think it's like it's more soulful. You know, you have the blues elements in it, so it hits you differently as opposed to listening to a very angry black metal or death metal bands. You know, this is it's slower. It's, you know, it's got blues, and I think that that's what resonates for me in particular. You know, because it goes straight to the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You mentioned that it's therapeutic for you.
It is.
How so?
So this music took a forefront in my life personally when I got sober. So for me, it replaced this addiction towards alcohol to this music. It was my outlet, you know, because alcohol for a long time was my outlet. It was just this thing. It was everything in my life, you know, at one point. So when I got sober, this music, which was always, you know, since I moved to New York, was at, you know, the back burner, but it really came to the forefront when I was able to achieve sobriety, you know. And it's been therapy for that process, and it, you know, it gets me through life and anything I need to kind of face and deal with.
I mean, that's amazing, and congratulations to you. Can I ask how long it's been?
So I got sober 2013, but you know, I've fallen off the wagon multiple times. I just hit 2 years on October 11th, and so it's been a little over 2 years now. But originally I got sober 2013, and my sobriety journey was from that point on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With some rocky missteps?
Yeah. Luckily, I've only been to one, like, none of the people that I was hanging out with during that time in my life, other than Pat from Geezer, really got to see that version of me. I mean, I think there's only been one time where I had a relapse, and I went to a show and you know, where it was the people that I interact with now at this point in my life, you know, got to see. But I mean, you know, it's life, you know, you fall and you pick yourself back up, and you know, you just keep going forward, ideally.
Right on. That's incredible.
Thank you. It, you know, it is what it is.
That's insurmountable.
Thank you.
In a lot of ways, because it's a struggle and a challenge, and not everybody can, you know, find the same level footing as other people such as yourself.
It was a journey. It was, and a lot of, you know, falling down and picking myself back up. And the thing with me is that I do it all alone. I'm on my own. I live in New York by myself, and kind of just anything I've ever had to struggle with, I've had to kind of deal with it on my own. And then,
mm-hmm.
you know, same like picking myself back up. It's usually like I got to do it on my own. And Ode to Doom certainly was something that I started on my own. And I mean, I have a great support system for sure, but at the end of the day, I'm the only person who runs it.
It boils down to you.
At the end of the day, it sure does. But it also boils down to the bands too. You know, the bands are incredible, and that's something I pride myself with Ode to Doom, is you know, just having a quality show, you know.
A real thing.
Oh, there's our jacket.
So going back to what we were saying. What were we saying? About the drinking?
You were...
By the way, I'm also working now, like, Ode to Doom is over, and now I'm just working my regular shift at the venue, so this is transitional.
I don't really recall what we were talking about. It had something to do with
sobriety.
With Ode to Doom,
yeah,
and,
yeah.
And founding it, and your current circle.
Oh, and doing it on my own.
And doing
yeah,
it on your
yeah,
own.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, just doing it on my own, and I like it that way, you know, I'm... Again, though, I mean, if it weren't for the support, which from the bands and from the community itself, you know, so I say I do it up by myself, and I do. I do the actual logistics of Ode to Doom on my own, and I like it that way, but I definitely certainly need the support and the love that I've gotten, you know, to kind of plant the seed and having it grow for the last three plus years.
What was it like doing the first one compared to doing this one?
So, Jesus. I have really bad social anxiety. So with that, it's difficult. If you have social anxiety, I don't recommend becoming a producer. But it's good in a way because it's challenged me. So I guess from 3 years ago to now, I've learned to kind of handle myself a lot better. It's still a work in progress because I love everything about producing the show. But the small talk in between sets is something that I'm still trying to master. And I know that it's important because networking is important, and you certainly need to network when you're a producer or a promoter of any show. So it's something that's challenged me. It certainly doesn't come easy to me, despite what some people think. So it's, you know, it's the way I handle it. Also, like, as far as, like, a turnout, you know, when, in the beginning, you know, I mean, like, it all depends on the band, it all depends on the night, it all depends on the weather, but at the end of the day, you know, when I had, let's say, a not so awesome turnout, you know, I used to internalize that and used to think that it was a reflection of me. Oh, people didn't come because of me or something. I'm not, you know, like I just had all these like internal dialogue, and I would
because you're trying to rationalize.
Well, no, I mean, because we're all, you know, at the end of the day, we're all just trying, you know, we have our insecurities, and when you're doing something like that, where it depends on like the people that come out and support that. So, but now I think like there was a point where I was like, I can't think that way. And I can't worry about those things because, you know, then it stops being fun. And so my rule of thumb in not just Ode to Doom, but in anything in my life that I've chosen to do, the moment something stops being fun, it's time to move on, you know? And so for me, when I decided to kind of make that decision to not internalize, you know, a poor turnout, you know, as a reflection on me and my fucking ego, like, it started being fun, and, you know, and actually, like, it's only grown. I mean, tonight, you know, it was good, but, you know, we also were competing with Slayer, so that doesn't help. But, you know, overall, like, those things don't affect me the way it affected me 3 years ago. Like, I don't internalize that at all. I don't think it's an extension of me. I just think that sometimes, you know, there's times where I have three jobs. Like, I'm tired. There's times where I would love to go to the show, but I just rather stay in my sweatpants, you know? So for me, I get that now as opposed to 3 years ago.
What was the record that broke you?
When I started doing Ode to Doom or prior?
No, I just didn't, like, in the one that you said, this is the, I need to have more of this in my life, the one.
Holy shit, wow. I don't know if I can even, that's a hard question. Let's go back to that at another time.
Well,
I mean, there's definitely bands, you know, bands where, I mean, the album Witchcraft from Witchcraft, you know. So I think that was like, holy shit, what the fuck is this? There's also this other band, they're no longer together, it's called Silver Sunshine. It was very like psych like heavy side, and kind of, you know, it had influence, very hippy dippy, but like also just, you know, it kind of got into the groove. They, you know, they're a band that stands out for me, but definitely Witchcraft, yeah. And that was just like, oh my god, what? And then the years came in, and you know, and now again, like for me, it's really just kind of being more knowledgeable with like the bands that are kind of in and around playing, and you know, and growing from that. You know, it's like less the bigger bands and more about this. You know, not that they're smaller bands, they're amazing, incredible bands, and strong, and you know, righteous. But you know, it's different for me. But definitely that album, I guess, and that band in particular.
I remember when they couldn't make it into the States a couple years ago, or last year.
Yeah.
And it was like DEFCON 4 for people. People were beside themselves.
Well, because they were going to play in Vegas.
Yes.
They were announced to play in Vegas. Everyone got stoked.
It was like a headliner.
Yeah, exactly. And then people were like, holy shit. I didn't go to that, and I can't afford that Las Vegas money, but, and then they were gonna play, out in the West Village. I got a ticket for that. I was just like, oh my god, this is the band that introduced me to all this other stuff that became this world that is now what I do, or what I'm part of, or even if it's a small fraction. But I was excited, and of course I was like promoting it, like not that it needed my promotion. I think people were just like, this is amazing. I was really fucking disappointed. I like requested the night off, and it was that one band that I've like, you know, on my bucket list of music to see and experience, you know. And then it didn't happen. I was like, god damn it.
It will happen.
I mean, it's becoming very difficult as far as like visas go. You know, Orange Goblin, the drummer, had like a whole incident. You know, I saw them at Muddy Roots this year, and they were incredible. You know, it wasn't their normal drummer, but they were amazing. But still, I think it's getting harder and harder for other reasons, you know, for that to happen. But I would love for that to happen. That would be amazing.
I was the lineup for Muddy Roots is pretty stacked this year, and just not big into camping.
Well, you just get an RV. I don't
have that kind of money.
Well, I don't have that kind of money. I got amazing.
You got friends.
My friends let me kind of go into that journey with them, and it was incredible. I needed to get away from New York City anyway, but
getting away from, as much as I enjoy being in this area, like getting away for a little while.
Muddy Roots was incredible. Muddy Roots was really, really, you know, again, getting away and being in an open space like that was incredible. Seeing the bands, having like walking around with, you know, just getting to kind of see the bands like kind of camp it with you. It was awesome, you know. But it's not just this genre of music, you know. Again, like I like all kinds of music. I like early 90s hip hop. I like, you know, my go-to is grunge. It'll always be grunge, you know. I wake up and I put some Alice in Chains on always. It's the music that, you know, like was in my life. It might have annoyed me at the time, but now I've kind of like grown to have some kind of nostalgia with, because, you know, at this point I'm 36 years old, so it's, the music you didn't necessarily appreciate when you were young, or you were annoyed with, like, it ends up being the kind of music that becomes your comfort. But,
Once you, like, I think it's like once you kind of put the barriers down.
Sure, yeah.
And you aren't, and you stop being so rooted in what you are comfortable with.
Sure.
And you start to look at it without, you know, the tinted glasses on, and you start to see that there's, to discredit any form of music is like kind of ignorant.
Yeah, I just wouldn't want to be. I have a lot of facets. Everybody has different facets of themselves, you know. So for me, music is more mood dependent. So
yes,
it depends on
agreed.
The it depends on the mood I'm in. Sometimes I'm at home and I want to listen to jazz, you know. Sometimes I like classical music. Sometimes I, as a massage therapist, I like listening to a lot of like new agey type music, you know. So it's most of the shows I go to are doom stoner rock related, but the stuff that I actually listen at home is very, very like drinking tea in my sweatpants type of music, you know, and so I you know, for me, that's my balance. That's my balance, you know. In my personal life, I just listen to whatever the fuck I want to listen to, and I don't care about, you know, having a particular. I never want one thing to define me, whether that's music or what I'm doing, you know, or you know the things that I or what I wear, you know. It changes constantly because I change constantly.
Right. Exactly, or yeah. It gets static and it's boring.
Or it gets, it would be the worst.
I know I said all to discredit any kind of music is kind of a blanket statement because Creed still fucking sucks.
I mean, sure, but to somebody, they really love Creed.
Exactly, somebody loves Creed. Sure. Somebody loves Nickelback.
I even like country music. You know, I love Waylon Jennings, and you know, I like Dolly Parton. So it really just all varies.
So now that you've wrapped up, this is the last installment of Ode to Dune for the year.
Yes.
What do you have in store for next year? I mean, I know that you're moving out to the Portland, Oregon area, but this is still happening.
This is still happening, very much so, because all the producing and promoting aspects is beautifully online. So I will be moving at the end of May, beginning of June, around that time. It will still go on. We have Ode to Dune booked until November. Ode to Dune, as you guys know, is a bi-monthly. So there's 6 shows. So they get booked fairly quickly. So it's on that aspect, we pretty much have all of next year almost fully booked. But yes, I mean, I will still promote it, still produce it. And then my friend Dave, who owns his own company, Made in Brooklyn, he does all the merch for me. And
Dave's great.
Dave is amazing.
Dave's a real, just super laid back, but like...
Super. He is so...
Runs a great business.
He runs an amazing business. He knows everyone in the music industry. As far as in this particular... Especially in this particular genre... Yeah. So, and he's a social butterfly. He has something that I don't necessarily have as far as like, when I see people, the last thing I think about is approaching them. I usually go about my own direction. But Dave, he really is somebody who's really good with people. People like him. He's really kind and he loves his music, you know, way better than me too. He's the man, you know, of the know, and I've been really lucky that I've known Dave since the very first Ode to Doom, and he does our merchandise, but he's also at every single Ode. This is the only one he has not been in, that motherfucker, because he's at Slayer. But
those motherfuckers,
but it's all right, he gets a pass. But he will kind of run the show day of.
Okay.
And so I'll still produce it, I'll still book it, I'll still promote it, but he's the one that when I finally move, he will kind of direct the bands and kind of still kind of keep it breathing in New York City. So I'm very lucky that, you know, he's genuinely a good friend, but also somebody, you know, when you're producing something like this, he's a good man to know. And actually, him and his girlfriend, I ended up going to Doomfest with them, and it was an awesome experience. They got to hear me listen to Alice in Chains in the morning all the time, too. Yeah. I just want to say, you know, kind of what I do and what Dave does, you know, you're also doing Diary of Doom, and, like, that's awesome because it's also supporting the scene and the music and all the things that we are all trying to do, or at least, you know, what me and also Dave, you know, are doing. So, you know, thank you for taking the time and for coming out to Ode to Doom, and I hope you continue to come and, you know, keep doing what you're doing, because, you know, it also gives bands, but it also gives places and events, you know, that are happening, you know, some attention, and that's really awesome.
It's my pleasure. I mean, I love doing this, and I, you know, kind of like Dave, am a bit of a social butterfly person. Like, I like talking to people. I'm very interested in people. So that's why I think I gravitated towards the community, because it felt very like, yeah, let's get to know each other. We're all here for reason. That's just to enjoy this. So we may as well all just like be friends and get along.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, not all music scenes are like that.
No.
You know, this is something very special, very special. And again, you can't always find this in every scene, or I don't even like the word scene, but you know, in this, in, you know, whatever, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. But where can people find you online?
At Instagram at @OTODOOM. And then on Facebook, just put @OTODOOM. And it's all on social media. @OTODOOM, Instagram at @OTODOOM, and Facebook just @OTODOOM. And that's it right now.
And is there any tease that you can give us for @OTODOOM for 2020?
There's ton. I just got an order. You're saying shirts?
Oh no. Tees. Like you don't have to.
Yeah, I just. Well, I know that January 15th we have Sigils and Eternal Black, and
Ken's great.
Ken is the man.
Ken and Joe, and unfortunately I don't know the bass player's name.
Hal. He does all the flyers. Okay. Pretty much. 98% of our flyers are done by Hal. He's amazing. Ritual Design is his flyer business, and social media. Shadow Witch on in March, and a few other, you know, touring bands that are coming through for @OTODOOM that I can't think of from the top of my head because I just finished the show and I'm still working at the venue, so my brain is fried. But there's a bunch. It's like I said, like half of next year is pretty much almost all full. Yeah. I think maybe the November show still I might have to still book some of that, but pretty much the rest of 2020 is fairly booked.
Just gives you an idea of what goes into getting this stuff all
so
lined
much.
Up.
So
it's like
much.
Herding cats.
It's well, basically, kinda, sorta. With me, just me. I'm the cat.
You're the cat.
I'm the fucking cat. But yeah, it's all good. I mean, again, this is a labor of love. I've always said that for me, this is something that I love to do. It drives me nuts. I go a show, I'm like all over the place. But at the end of the day, I love it, and that's why I keep on doing it.
That's great. Yeah. Thank you so much, Claudia.
Thank you so much.